I want to begin the message tonight with a video clip. This is March Madness, after all. Anybody watching any March Madness games? This is a time of year when any sports enthusiast, or if you're not a sports enthusiast, then the person you're in love with is a sports enthusiast, and you might get dragged in by default. One of the games has been on your TV or will be on before the end of March. But this is March Madness, and sometimes they call it March Sadness because there's such crushing defeats. And my team, Rutgers, they just missed the tournament. Double overtime the other night, and then we saw St. Peter's take down, Kentucky, mighty Kentucky, and St. Peter's. They're a bunch of Jersey boys, you know. And I got to say, I was rooting for them Jersey boys to take down the big giant. I was like David and Goliath to me. But anyway, March Madness is all over the television, all over sports, and I want to begin the sermon tonight sharing a clip from March Madness. And this is several years ago, and I believe it was 1995, and it's a clip from Darius Washington Jr., and he was a star player on the University of Memphis, and they were one win away from going to the NCAA tournament. And Darius, there's just a few seconds left, maybe 6 seconds left. The other team is up by two. Darius gets the ball for the University of Memphis, drives the length of the court, and shoots and misses a three. But he got fouled shooting a three. And you know what that means? You get three shots. And if he makes two, then they tie and go to overtime. If he makes three, the University of Memphis is going to the NCAA. Let's play the clip and see what happens.
It's 8 for 8 for the year. Make it 9 for 9. How about that substitution? 6'1" sophomore from Alpharetta. And he's trying to go 10 for 10 for the year. Nope. Gotta go in a hurry. 2-point game. Washington.
Well, he got hit.
Foul on Garcia.
He got hit.
The foul starts a little.
And you want sports? You can see all the sports you want here with Washington. Because in air, once again, he found a way to make contact.
There's Garcia. And he will go to the line where he is 2 of 3 today.
And they're going to check where he's going to shoot it from there.
Exactly.
The quick look like it may have been a three. Here's, this will give us a look. Both behind right there. He's in air. He can cross that line in air. That's not a problem.
Darius Washington will go to the free throw line for his three shot.
He's shooting three.
And do the quick math, folks. They're down two. 73 plus 3 equals a win. And he's a freshman.
For the season, 72%. If he hits three in a row, Memphis goes to the NCAA championship. Two to go.
Boy, does that take the pressure off right now? He's got to go 1 for 2 for a tie. You can't describe the pressure here. Vern, I will be hard-pressed to tell you right now that if you'll see a more pressurized situation this year in this tournament as we're watching right here.
Tournament's on the line. Wins.
Somebody's got to go help that kid out.
And the first man there is John Calipari.
Please remain in your seats for the presentation of today's championship.
He needed three. He could convert only one.
Please remain in your seats.
And sadly for Darius Washington Jr., you've seen a moment that he will never, ever forget. He hit the first. He missed numbers 2 and 3. Louisville wins the Conference USA Championship. They will advance to the NCAA tournament. The season has come to a close for the Memphis Tigers. So for Jim Spanarkle, I'm Vern Lundquist saying so long from Memphis, where the final score dramatically 75-74. Coming up next, the Big Ten semifinal. Minnesota takes on top-ranked Illinois. This has been a presentation of CBS Sports.
I said 95. I think that was 2005. He was born in 85, so it had to be 2005 when that happened. And but you saw there, you may not have been able to see with the glare or whatever, but he made the first shot, and then he just needs one to tie and go to overtime, but he misses that second one. And then he steps up, and this coach said, you can make it, and he got up there, and he missed the third one. And did you see what he did? He pulled his jersey up, and he buried his head in his jersey, and he collapsed to the floor. And John Calipari, a famous coach, that was his coach of the Memphis Tigers. And he was the first one there to try and lift him up. But John Calipari, his coach, couldn't get him up. He was so discouraged after missing those two shots. Not even Coach Calipari, and he's a coach's coach, he could not get that boy up off the floor, that young man. And his teammates came and surrounded him. While everybody else was shaking hands, they didn't show you the off camera. He was still on the floor. His teammates couldn't get him up. And his dad was up in the stands watching. And his dad realized not only that he knew his son had missed the shots, but he realized that his son was so discouraged he could not get up. And his dad made a beeline down to the floor and said, "Let me in, I'm his dad." And then his dad started whispering in his ear, "You can make it, son. You can make it. We're going to survive this. We're going to survive this. Come on, son, get up. Come on, son, get up. Come on, son, get up. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Come on, son, get up." And when he heard his father's voice in his ear, he had somehow the strength to rise to his feet. And he and his father walked to the locker room. And in John Calipari's wisdom, you know, he said, he told his dad, I coached him about basketball, but you're coaching him about life. And he allowed him and his dad to go to a certain section of the locker room, just him and his dad. And one of the things his dad did right after that is his dad said, "Son," he took him back to the hotel. And of course it was on ESPN. It was all over the news. Not just him missing the shots, but his face buried, face planted in the floor of the court. Not only is all of University of Memphis, they're disappointed, but just to see the agony. And you heard Vern Lundquist, one famous announcer, he said, he's never going to forget that. And so often the enemy tries to be that negative voice in our lives, that when something happens, it's the enemy whispering in your ear, you're never going to forget that. But I came here to tell you tonight that God has a way to encourage you. God has a way to lift you up. God has a way to build you up. And it doesn't matter what's gone wrong. It doesn't matter who's done you wrong. It doesn't matter how bad it's been in your life. God loves you and God will lift you up. And the Bible says a righteous man hath many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Somebody, a righteous man may fall down seven times, but seven times he'll get back up. And the title of this message is tonight is there is a divine encourager on the inside of you. I want you to write that down. There's a divine encourager on the inside. Meditating on this message, that just came up out of my spirit last week, preparing for the message, meditating on the message, asking the Lord, what should I call this message? One morning meditating on the message, just came up out of my spirit. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. There's a divine encourager on the inside. His dad, Darius Washington Jr., in the midst of that pain, they go back to the hotel. He gets showered. They turn on the TV. His dad makes him turn on the TV. And he says, I don't want to turn on the TV. I'm going to be all over national TV. They're going to show me missing those shots. And his dad says, no, you're going to watch it. You're going to face it. And his dad, knowing how to motivate him, you know, everybody's motivated differently. Oh, but your Father God, he knows how to motivate you and I if we'll listen to him. I said if we'll listen to him. He told Elijah under a juniper tree, Elijah, what are you doing under that tree? Elijah had gotten so discouraged. He'd gotten so fearful. He ran 200 miles off course away from God. And God caught up with him under a tree and said, come on, get up out, get from under that tree. He has a divine visit from an angel. And the angel says, you need to eat this food because the journey ahead is too long if you don't eat. And let me tell you something. To hear and be ministered to by the divine encourager tonight, we have to eat from the word of God. We have to have the word. Pastor's been preaching on the word these last several weeks. Oh, it's been so good. And if you haven't gotten those series, you need to get Pastor's series on the word. It's about 3 or 4 weeks he's been teaching on that. It's been fantastic. But the angel told Elijah, if you don't eat, you won't survive the journey. And so many Christians are failing to hear from the divine encourager, even though he's speaking, he's encouraging. Christians are failing to be ministered to, some, because they haven't eaten from the good word of God. Oh, but if you'll eat from the word, the way God told us to eat from his word, you will hear, you will sense the divine encourager, the word of the Father in your ear. And so his dad made him watch it. He made him watch it. And he didn't want to watch it, but his dad made him watch it. And then his dad said, son, get dressed. Darius Washington Jr., his dad, they're in Memphis. And his dad says, we're going to Beale Street. And I work for FedEx, you know. So FedEx is headquartered in Memphis. So I can't tell you the number of times I've been to Memphis. But Beale Street is the biggest. It is a famous street. If you don't want to see people, then do not go to Beale Street, because that's where all the people are. In the thousands, people are on Beale Street. And his dad said, we're going to Beale Street. And he said, oh, no, dad, people are going to see me. They just saw me on TV. They're going to recognize me. And he said, come on, son, we're going to do it together. I'm going to stand right with you. His father knew how to motivate him. Not everybody's motivated the same way. But this kid, his dad knew it, and his dad got it right here. And he knew, and his father told him, I'm going to stand right there with you. And they went out to Beale Street. And it wasn't long before somebody said, hey, you're that kid who missed the shots. You were just on TV. And he said, yeah. And then the person said, I play ball too, and I miss shots for my team, and we didn't advance. It was an AAU tournament or something. He says, I don't know what you're feeling tonight, but I went through that in an AAU tournament. I missed my shots too. Hang in there, you're going to make it. And he said, oh. They walked a little further, and somebody said, aren't you? Don't he look like that? He looked like that boy on team just missed up. Are you the one who just missed those shots? And he said, yeah. And he said, man, hang in there. Everything's going to be all right. We feel for you. We're praying for you. And he said, oh. And his dad knew he had to get him back on that horse. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. There's no doubt about that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. The question is, are you listening to him? Because there's another voice out there. There's a divine, not really, there's a, let me say it this way. There's a demonic discourager out there. A demonic discourager. And he will do everything he can to try to discourage you and I. Let me show you what I mean first. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 first tonight. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at that last verse in Matthew chapter 3. You know, I'm reading from New American Standard. And in Matthew chapter 3, you said, brother, what is the title of this message again? I didn't get it all written down. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's no doubt about it that he's there. It's unequivocal. He's there. You say, well, he's not encouraging me. Then you're not in the word. You're not listening to him. But if you'll humble your heart, if you'll listen to him tonight, oh, your divine encourager is right there. Matthew chapter 3, let's start at 16. We'll read 16 and 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What an awesome verse of scripture, two verses. At the baptism of Jesus, the Lord Jesus gets to hear the voice of his Father, the voice of validation from Father God, speaks at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Isn't that awesome? Look at the first few verses of Matthew 4, though. Matthew 4, the demonic discourager shows up. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Let me stop right there. The very first thing Satan says to him, verse 3, and the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God." Isn't that interesting? He wanted Jesus to doubt that he was the Son of God. The Father had just confirmed. We just read in the last verse of Matthew chapter 3, the very last verse is the Father. It's the divine encourager. The Father validates and confirms, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 4, the demonic discourager shows up and says, "If you are the Son of God." Isn't that interesting? Satan challenged the very thing that God had already confirmed. The divine encourager had already uplifted the Son, and he had already told the Lord Jesus, "You're my beloved Son, and in you I'm well pleased." The demonic discourager showed up and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Oh, but then Jesus whipped him with the word. Jesus gave us the recipe. Jesus gave us exactly what to do. You know, Jesus gave us the exact recipe. You know what I mean when I say exact recipe? I remember one time John Paul was graduating from high school. And so some of his buddies, their parents, we were going to have a joint high school graduation party for him. And so they said, "Well, listen, why don't you cook something and bring something over?" And I said, "Okay, I'll cook something." And I made one of my chuck roasts, cooked it 6.5 hours, seasoned it, took it over there. And when I took it in there, I took some other stuff too. I took some other food. But the host of the party, she looked at all the other food and said, "Oh, this is great, fantastic. We're going to give this to the kids." When she saw my chuck roast, she slid it to the side and said, "Oh, no, this is going to the parents." She said, "Them kids don't need to know nothing about this." And they tore that roast up. And then she called me, the host called me a week later, and she said, "Bill, what did you put in that roast?" And I said, "Oh, you know, I seasoned it, this is that, and I cooked it 6.5 hours in my crock pot." She said, No. My mama called. She said, my mama and them live in North Carolina. She said, my mama called. I said, "I want you to call him. I want you to get not just a few ingredients. I want to know step, from the time that he opened the package on that meat to the time that he bought it in the door." She wanted the whole recipe. I said, "Okay, well, step one, step two, step three." Jesus gave us a recipe, step A to Z, on how to defeat Satan when that demonic discourager shows up at your door. And Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, whoa, it is written, Satan, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And when a Christian, when a Bible-believing, Bible-toting Christian will get the word of God, not just in his heart, but coming out of his mouth, saying, "Satan, it is written, Satan, it is written, Satan, it is written." Hey, God will move hell, God will shake heaven, God will move mountains to answer your prayer. Yes, he will. Jesus gave us the exact recipe to how to deal with that demonic discourager. Some Christians walk around and they have such little word in them that the only voice they hear is the demonic discourager. "You're never going to make it. You ought to quit. Oh, you really blew it this time. Oh, you made a mistake this time. Oh, you ought to quit. Oh, that was terrible. Everybody's looking at you. You'll never recover. You're never going to forget." Tony and I, we were in exercise class Monday or Wednesday, whatever, one day last week. And our sweet instructor, you know, I don't know, there's probably, 20 people in class. We're all exercising, group exercise class, you know. It's early in the morning. We start at 5:15, you know, we finish 6:30. And we exercising, and the poor instructor, she's doing a new routine. She's up on an elevated platform, tripped and fell, you know, right in the middle of the routine, you know. And she was so embarrassed. She was so hurt, you know, and I could tell it just bothered her. And at the end of the class, Tony and I went up to her and I said, "Listen, you need to forget all about that. It was a great class. You beat us up with the exercise. We had fun. It was a great class. And I said, I know you're thinking about you slipped. She said, yeah. I said, you know, we all make mistakes. I said, you know, I was doing announcements last Sunday at church. I forgot half the offering prayer. I said, I walked off the stage and they were still praying. I said, we all make mistakes. Sometimes you just have to laugh at yourself and go on. And as tears flowed from her face, she said, thanks, Bill and Tony. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. I can't get away from these scriptures in John. Let's go there. We're going first to John chapter 14. I can't get away from this. I've been planted as I study the word. This last couple months, I've been just immersed in these scriptures asking the Lord what to share. He brought me back to these scriptures to share from a different perspective. You know, there's no way to exhaust the role and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus said it this way. We'll read in a minute. Jesus said it this way. You're going to John 14. We're going to go to verse 16. Jesus said it this way. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the helper to you. There's no way to exhaust the ways that he will help you and I. Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to send. It's to your, think about this now. He said this, it's to your advantage that I go away. And I've said this before. How could it be to our advantage that he go away? If he were walking the earth and he said to you and I, how could it be to our advantage for him to go away? Well, when he walked the earth, then he was just one man and everybody was trying to get to him. So guess what? If we heard Jesus was in England, we'd be trying to get over to England. If we heard he was in Coweta, we'd all be rushing to Coweta. If Jesus were here at Ramah, everybody would be running into Ramah. Let's get over there to see Jesus. But because he has sent us the helper, he has suddenly everywhere at the same time. He can be with you 24 hours a day. He can be with me 24 hours a day. He can stand with you in the midst of your trouble. He can stand with me in the midst of trouble. And then we can call on him. We have an audience with the king any hour of the day or night. John 14, 16. These four times Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Paraclete. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Oh, man, that he may be with you forever. Man, another helper. He's that word paraclete, that word helper. First of all, it means the one who redeems from the curse. But it also means this. He's an advocate. He's a standby. He's a guide. He's a teacher. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He's a consoler. He's a strengthener. He's an encourager. He's an intercessor. All of those words are implied, are meant in that one word, helper. That's John 14, 16. Look at John 14, 26. Oh, but the helper, there it is again, the paraclete. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Look at John 15, 26. John 15, 26 again. 15, 26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, this is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. There it is again. And then John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper, there it is again. Now, if you will, in the Passion Translation, if you could help me in the video department, I want to give all of our video people a big hand. We send them videos to set up and to help us with, and scriptures, and they're so busy. We appreciate them so greatly. Great, wonderful men and women of God. We appreciate them. If we could show John 15:26, and then we'll follow with John 16:7, but in the Passion Translation, I would greatly appreciate it. I want you to see these last two scriptures from the Passion Translation, whenever they get that, because the Passion Translation doesn't use the word helper. The Passion Translation uses the word, which is where we got this title from, divine encourager. So when that comes up there, so 15:26 says essentially, when the divine encourager comes, And then over in 16:7, Jesus said, if I do not go away, the divine encourager, there it is. It's to your advantage that I go away, 16:7, then go on down a little bit. For if I do not go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. Can you see that? That's 16:7. Go back to 15:26. Let them see 15:26 in the Passion Translation. 15:26. Says again, the divine encourager, the divine encourager. And I will send to you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. My friend, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you've been through in your life. Any Christian, if you interview them, if they've lived long enough, we all go through things. Sometimes things that are deeply hurtful and discouraging. Does it mean those things should have occurred? Does it mean those things should have happened? Of course not. You may have suffered through some of the most terrible circumstances and situations. I went through a terrible, hurtful divorce. Oh, but the divine encourager rose up on the inside of me. And I want to tell you this, if you're going through a discouraging situation, because sometimes there may be someone listening to this message and you might have arrived at the conclusion things are so bad for you, you might be entertaining thoughts, it's not worth going on. I should go on to heaven. I don't want to live any longer. I don't want to live like that. I think I should go on to heaven. I think I should quit. You might be entertaining thoughts to quit as I'm talking. And you've smiled to the person next to you. You've smiled to the person listening next to you at home. But you know there's turmoil. Oh, but there's a divine encourager who's speaking to you right now. And if you'll listen to him, he's going to tell you you can make it. He's going to tell you I will strengthen you. He's going to tell you I will help you. And I remember through some of my darkest days, the divine encourager, he showed up again and again to help me. And I've testified so often as to what one thing that God did for me. And I don't mind, I'll tell it till I see him in heaven. Because I know that my divine encourager, he was helping me. And he's always helping us. And my dad passed away in January of 2004. And I'll never forget that. And I had to preach his sermon. Oh man, I had to handle all the arrangements. I had to handle all the burial arrangements, and I had to get my sisters there, my family there. I had to feed everybody. I had a big old expedition SUV, and I was running people around train station, bus station, airport, getting people around. And I got everybody after the funeral, everybody where they were supposed to be. I was really exhausted going back to an empty house now, going back to his house. And I was thinking about all that I'd been through in the preceding days. And my wife was leaving, and my dad had just died, and I was behind the wheel of that expedition, and I saw Burger King, and I said, I'm gonna go get a chicken meal. And I pulled up in the drive-thru line of the Burger King, and I never forget what happened next. I ordered my chicken meal, and when I got to the window to pay, the employee there said, sir, you can't pay for your meal because the car that just drove off, they paid for you. And I said, it's been a long time since I've been in Jersey. I live in Oklahoma. I don't know anybody here in this town. And he said, yeah, but they specifically asked for your receipt and they wanted to buy your meal. And they told me before they pulled off to give them the receipt. They said, sir, I gave them the receipt. They wrote something on it for you, and they told me just before they pulled off, give this to the guy behind us. And at the top of the receipt, they wrote, God loves you. And I sat there with tears in my eyes, thinking, Lord, you know exactly where I am in this line at Burger King. I had an encounter with the King of Kings at the Burger King. And as I sat there about to cry, I looked down the receipt and it said, your server today is Jesus, or Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. And my divine encourager told me behind the wheel of that expedition, everything's going to be all right. You keep your eye on me. I'll see you through all that happens in your marriage. I'll see you through all that happens with your dad. And he did. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're going through a tough time, you're going through a challenge, you're going through a situation that you haven't yet figured out. There's your divine encourager. Oh, he's rising up within you right now to tell you you can make it, to tell you he'll make a way out of no way, to tell you he knows how to make rivers out of a desert. Your divine encourager. You may be sitting there broke tonight, but your divine encourager will say, I can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's no room for you to receive it. You've got a divine encourager there to uplift you. And if you'll pay attention to your position in Christ, he will uplift your human condition tonight. Your divine encourager is trying to help you. And the question is, are you listening to him? So many people are in tune with the demonic discourager, when really you need to only be listening to your divine encourager. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share what you gave us along these lines tonight. And we thank you. You are, oh, thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost, the one called to stand right next to us, so close to us, Father, he's inside of us. In every situation of life, he's there to guide, to counsel, to advise, to comfort, to console, to uplift, to intercede, to be our advocate. He's the one who enforces what Jesus won. The curse has ended on our behalf. And tonight somebody needs you, Father God. We thank you for uplifting every bowed down head, every discouraged heart here tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here and you may be thinking, I don't even know God, preacher. I don't even have Christ in my life. I don't have any divine encourager. The only thing I ever hear is the demonic discourager. Oh, but you can know him tonight. His name is Jesus. And if you'll be real with him tonight, oh, he's tugging at your heart. And I wonder, is there anybody here listening to the sound of my voice and you've never received Jesus? Is there anybody here? I wonder if you'd lift your hands tonight. Let me pray for you. Ushers, help me for just a moment. Is anybody here? You say, I want to receive Jesus in my life. Anybody here? Anybody here? You don't know Christ. You don't know what would happen to you if you were to die tonight. Oh, there's a divine encourager. He will uplift you. Micah 7:19 says he's thrown our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. I wonder if anybody's here tonight. You say, I'm a Christian, Brother Bill, but I'm not walking with Christ. I know I'm not walking with Christ, and I need to make that right. I need to get back to my divine encourager. Let me see your hand in here. I'm a Christian, but I'm not walking with Christ tonight. I'm out of fellowship with God, but I want to make it right. You say, I don't care who's looking. I want to make this right. Anybody here tonight? Oh, just want to make sure. You may be watching from home, and you need a touch from the divine encourager. I just want us all to say this prayer out loud. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I pledge my heart to you. Thank you for sending your son. Jesus died for me. He paid the price for my sins. Father, you raised him from the dead. And now you've given me eternal life. I accept your offer of forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. And I will live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, our prayer room workers are coming now. Say, what are they coming down there for? You may have some other prayer I didn't cover. I just gave two invitations tonight, but you may have some other need in your life. Something's discouraged you, something's hurt you, and you need somebody to pray with you. And if you'll let them pray with you, the divine encourager will rise to speak to you, encourage and strengthen you. And if you're a lady, come over here to the ladies. And if you're a guy, come over here to the guys. And if you just gave your life to Jesus, we want you to write in and let us know that. Let us know that you gave your life to Jesus tonight. Well, my friends, this week, I don't know what you have to face. And I don't know what you're going through. But I know God sent me to tell you this and to remind you, the Holy Spirit is the divine encourager on the inside. And no matter what goes wrong, whether it's a flat tire Monday morning or whether someone loses a job, you've got a divine encourager who will lift you up, who will help you up, who will stand you up, no matter what the situation, circumstance, or scenario. He will build you up. Apostle Paul said, in my trial, nobody stood for me, but Jesus did. The Holy Spirit, my divine encourager. And I know he'll do that for you. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being so attentive tonight. And I pray you'll listen to him. There's a divine encourager on the inside of you. Amen. All right, pastors, do we have anything else? Okay, well, it looks like we're clear to go. Be sure to keep our pastors lifted up in prayer, our senior pastors, that is. And be right back here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We will be looking for you. God bless you, one and all.